And this is Zahir, a.k.a. David, again, with the third part of my podcast about Season 4. Okay, one of the interesting things about Season 4 was that we began to see some very interesting, like, curlicues about characters that we really hadn't explored too often before. Little nuances of change. Not least was, Rowena becoming pregnant, and how she reacted to that. We had Lorinda beginning to grow up a little bit. Well, she was getting older, and if you recall, one of the things that I found so interesting was that, first time she went in the field during season 3, she was terrified, and she was overreacting. When we see her go into the field in season 4, she does a much better job. She's not seasoned completely yet, but she's doing better. She's not nearly afraid. She uses her fear. And frankly, also, the relationship between her and Jeff becomes, frankly, more healthy. And I was when I wrote a proposal about that, that basically he would force her to tell him the truth about some of her shenanigans, and that he in turn would give her secrets about him, because, his whole point was, we have to have this relationship, and otherwise it won't work. And that means you have to trust me, and I have to trust you, and we have to know things about each other. And so, by the end of the season, Lorinda was no longer trying, for example, to sabotage Hope and Jeff. And for that matter, from my mark, I very much enjoyed charting the whole relationship of Hope and Jeff as they were tenuously trying to become close. And that was very, very cool, in my opinion. Now, coupled with all this also was, Xander being a mess, a complete mess. We didn't dwell on that over much. I thought that was kind of really well done. I'm not speaking in the initial scenes with his therapist. I wrote those, and I was very pleased with them, and I was very pleased with the music video that I made to go along with it. But I was pleased to see that in the following episodes, we didn't keep coming back and dwelling on the same thing over and over again. People know, Xander's upset, he's trying to deal with things, he's kind of tender. But when we got to Hidden, and began to see that, that's just surface. We begin to really see that there's a lot of really pain and darkness that still is underneath all that. I thought that was handled extremely well. Given that there was so much darkness in season 4, and there was, we killed Helly, we almost had people go crazy and kill each other in Hidden. There's a lot of dark things going on with Caden. Kennedy almost going crazy, searching for Helly and all this. So in the midst of it, we also had a lot of really, really funny episodes, basically, because it's one thing CN said at the early on, said, we need some funny episodes. We need some breaking of the tension, because this is just harsh. And, which is true. So, that's when we start getting things like, based on true story, and You Never Know, and things like that. They were just fun. We tried to bring in as much humor as possible, because it's a dark season. There's a lot of really unfortunate dark things happening, understandably given the shape of the season and the overall arc. Now, the interesting thing was that by the second half, all these wonderful things have been put together, but we really hadn't figured out how to coalesce it all together. So, early spring of season 4, I actually lost my internet for about 2 weeks. Never mind about what my financial problems were. Boo-hoo-hoo, blah, blah, blah. I took that time to look over all the material we had and then write an outline for the two, you know, the season finale. It was going to be a two-parter, and that meant, among other things, I got to input a lot of it, and of course that also meant I got to I got to name the episodes based on, of course, the Browning poem, and which was, of course, Child Roland and the Dark Tower, which, you know, wound itself up quite nicely. Now, we had that, and along the way, we certainly had lost some of the kind of fun little ideas that we had been playing around with. Like, we had this business about, originally, when we go to, you know, the top of the world, you know, the Himalayas, and it was going to be in a cave, there was this old woman who was going to eat the flower, and she had to be killed. And then she would shatter, and then all the magic would go back, which is a kind of a cool idea, kind of anime, but, you know, it's a cool idea, but I think we came up with something that was actually better. And I remember there was this, we had this marvelously productive, well, ultimately what happened was CN and I had this long IM chat for, I think, about 3 hours, where we went over that outline of how could we work things in, because, you know, certain things hadn't been really worked in as well as we could have. Isabel and Ethan, in particular, needed to be put into that story of the finale and made absolutely clear that they were part of it. And it really, really clarified things to talk over things with CN, because she asked very good questions, and she would insist that this has to work. And it's really, really, it was an invigorating time. I mean, those IM sessions when we get together and we chart something, I'm like, they're exhausting. They're really exhausting, and they're invigorating and interesting. So that is what happened towards the second, you know, like, I think about two-thirds, maybe three-fourths of the way into the season. And I know CN was very, very busy at that time, and she was actually giving over a lot of episodes, just trusting us very nicely to complete them. And a lot of them turned out very well. And it was very, very nice to see how certain things worked out, including, of course, Hide and Seek, which just has over 300 responses, comments in the forum, which is just amazing. And we got enormous amount of very good positive response to the two-part finale. And everything, I was very pleased with how everything sort of led up to that, including lots of fun little things like Bloodlines, for example. I'm just delighted with the whole thing about, you know, putting a story that was about basically Marsha the dragon with three characters that have never much interacted, and it was awfully fun to have them go off like that. Several very fun either stories or whole episodes in all this. Probably the silliest being You Never Know, which was about, you know, the demons who had come to destroy the entire world, and there was absolutely nothing we could do about it, and then, you know, Andrew accidentally destroyed the one thing that they needed by tripping and spilling some soda. So that was I loved that. So basically, you know, it was really a bunch of hammering out, and I do remember that when we were hammering out the two-part finale, Child Roland and The Dark Tower, and we were doing a very, very nice thing about that, that we that everybody kept coming up with some very interesting ideas, and some of them did have to be they just didn't work. Everybody talked about it, everything, all this, and I really felt excellent about how it all held together. And it was CN who I think three-fourths of the way through realized what the natural conclusion of all this would be. That we had created Brior 9 as a very real entity, and, you know, people in the audience immediately saw some parallels we didn't see immediately. Namely, that, for example, for Jason Felix, is the Giles of his group. You know, part of the fact that he is, despite Hope's many, many problems, let's face it, she came out ahead in the surrogate daddy department. You know, her surrogate father is way better than, Faith's. The fact that, you know, had a lot of fun working out, you know, Laurie, and seeing how the audience's response to her changed over the course of the season. Increasingly seeing how she responded and seeing how, I loved putting in little things that revealed character and relationship within Bureau 9. Including the thing that really disturbed people at the end of Hidden, which was my idea, which was I was talking it over with Sherry, that the powers that be in charge of Bureau 9, and we'd hinted at Oversight Committee at that point, would not tolerate what Tyrell had done. This is something that was so beyond the pale, which is both, you know, good news and disturbing news, because we're talking about, you know, executing, killing a human being. Now, by the way, I should mention, I am completely against the death penalty under all circumstances. But what we are talking about here was, you know, under what circumstances might someone who believed in it do it? That's a different situation. And so, you know, it was all a matter, and the other thing was that it's interesting how a lot of the things that got together, I don't know why they fit together, but they did. All the odd little details, like, you know, bringing together Sheila and, you know, Sheila Rosenberg and her Oprah group, and bringing back Harmony and Luna, which was just hilarious. And the lovely little detail of getting Mary Grace and Althania necking. It was all this. So that was basically, you know, the whole course of how that sort of happened. And I've run off at the mouth, and we're almost at 12 minutes here. So I'm not going to talk anything more about this. This is the third part of the podcast. That's plenty of time. That's plenty enough. Thank you for listening, if you did, and my kudos for your patience. Thank you very much for listening, and even more for reading, because, you know, you're the reason we do this. Thank you so much. Bye.